On. Here's Lux, starting things off. Sorry, you're sorry.
That ends in this farewell. It took me getting over you for you to get over yourself. But you can't take back all those things that you said. Years that you spent went free in my head, oh no. Now you're just someone that I used to know. Sorry now. But some things are just a little too late. We'll keep playing your games, and I'll be okay on my own, babe. Yeah. I'm sorry that you're sorry now. Second chances and second wins. I play for keeps, you play. And then you told me that I'm better off dead, but better off since I left you behind. But you can't take back all those things that you said. Years that you spent with free in my head, oh no. Now you're just someone that I used to know. Sorry that you're sorry now. But some things are just a little too late. Sorry that you're sorry now.
Met up with her to set the record straight, but she don't care. Yeah.
Okay, moving along on Steel City Music. The next interview is with Francesca Panetta. She's a folk pop artist out of the Toronto area. And I was struck by how good she was right away. And then when I started doing the old deep dive, you go in the YouTube videos, you listen to all the other stuff, you can see this real growth in her as a performer and her writing and everything. And we talk about that. She makes the jump from doing some covers and then finding the courage to write her own music and lyrics. And it's filled with imagery. And when you listen to her music and you go, and I'm pretty sure you're going to click on and find out more stuff about her. So she's on YouTube, she's on Facebook, all the other stuff. So please go and do that. You will hear imagery in her lyrics. And I make that comparison to Kate Bush with her. And I meant that only as a compliment towards her. So here it is. You listen to Steel City Music. I'm your host, Gunner Smith, Jamie Smith. I don't know. Midlife crisis. Do I call myself Gunner? I'm not on the air all the time. It was a stupid name. It stuck. It's Jamie. I'm falling apart, you know, and my next guest is just dying laughing at me because, you know, she agreed to do the interview and it's hilarious. Francesca Panetta, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm sorry about my pre-recording diatribe on interweb technology.
That was wonderful. It gives you character and I'm here for it.
Okay. I feel that both of us have a sort of kinship of like, we're going to put something out on the internet and please buy into it. So I never have to have a day job and I can just do this for a living.
Right. And we can just be chaotic and be ourselves and it's all good.
Yeah, it's awesome. So here's the deal. Pop Folk Artist is your label. You're out of Toronto, Ontario. And when I went, I started like listening to some of the stuff that you put up online, Linktree and all the other fun stuff. At first I was like, she's young. Like when you look at someone, you go, in some of your photos, like she looks like she's like 14, 15, like very young. So, and just hear me out on this. This is just the old man rambling in me. When I was looking at you and you were performing on some of the videos and some of your songs, I'm watching you and you said you're like a songstress hippie. And I went, okay, that's a brand label, that sort of thing. But the more I was listening to you, you were reminding me of someone who's become famous all over again, Kate Bush.
Oh, well, thank you. I'll take that as a huge, huge compliment.
I hope so.
Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, look at what's happening to her now. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have much to comment on that. I'll just take that as a huge compliment.
Well, on my end, it was just, there was just some of the thing about the visuals and some of the, because her writing was very heartfelt based on books and life experiences. And, and then I was listening to some of your stuff as well. And it's like, you know, so few words, like the love letter, that sort of thing. There was some really strong lyrics there that invoked imagery. And that's where I draw the parallels, not so much of that she's like the youthful look that both you have at the same, I was assuming the same age, but she was a star when she was like 14, she got signed to a record deal. So there's that parallel with the two of you.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I mean, yeah, I do really try my best to create the imagery within my lyrics. So thank you for noticing. but yeah, I don't know. I used to actually really struggle a lot with writing lyrics. I used to think that I wasn't very good at it. And it probably was just because I simply didn't have the practice. But yeah, now, I don't know, something clicked within me a few years back. And when I was writing songs for my original EP. And yeah, I don't know, something clicked. And I just got within this like zone in my head. And I don't know, I put a lot of effort into my lyrics now and I feel that I'm better at it. So I really appreciate you noticing the effort I put into it. I love hearing that from people.
Did it start with you as a performer starting out as I want to do music and you were singing other people's covers, that sort of thing? Or was because you just said like it was a couple years before you could just write your own material.
Right. Yeah. I used back in high school, I did a lot of musical theater, did a lot of covers. just like at bar restaurant gigs and stuff. And then even after high school, I used to busk around Toronto and do a lot of covers there. And then during COVID is when I really got back into songwriting. It was like every single day, like 70, 80, now well over 150, I'd say, songs that I've written, and just all in my little booklet.
How does it work with you balancing the material, like the material? How do you know this is something that you want to record? Do you have some gatekeepers in your life, other musicians, a producer, a mom, a dad, a friend, that sort of thing?
Well, my opinion is first and foremost for, you know, when it gives a feeling, when you get that feeling of, oh, I think this can touch people, or I think people can relate to this. I think people will get something out of it, you know? And then I take that and I'll record a little demo in my little home studio here. And then first person I'll take it to is my brother. Cause he's not really a musician himself, but he loves music. And I trust his opinion, greatly when it comes to music and good lyrics. Cause he, much like me, is a very deep thinker, and appreciates the imagery within lyrics, like we were talking about. So yeah, he's usually the first person I'll go to. And then other than that, it's just a matter of, what producer I'm working with and seeing what we can do together and what is going to kind of click between us too. So
you just mentioned producer. How many producers have you worked with so far?
I'm going on my third now. So I have kind of two singles in the works right now. We're kind of still at the beginning stages of both, but two different producers I'm working with. And then I worked with the amazing Jeff Wardell from Your Productions on my EP When the Sunshine Rains and on So Few Words as well.
Can you describe for us the feeling of making that transition? As you said, like, here I am, I'm busking, I'm playing just what everyone else does. They're going to these different bars. There's open mics. You're playing wherever you can play so you can get your voice heard to build that self-confidence as a performer. How did it feel for you to go into a studio with a producer for the first time?
Well, it was something that I had been dreaming of doing since I was a little kid. So it was pretty surreal. I was quite nervous going into it, I'll admit, but Jeff did a really good job of kind of helping me relax. It was actually a studio in his house that he had built that he'd had for years. So it wasn't like I was paying for the hour, you know, so it wasn't too much stress as it would be going to a regular recording studio where it's like you pay per hour. So if you mess up, then that's another $50 right there or whatever. So I didn't really have the stress of that, which was super nice. It's definitely a memory I'll remember forever.
So you do, how many songs did you do on that EP? Was it 4 or 5?
Six.
It was 6. Now, did you go into it with more than 6 songs and said, okay, this is, and you pared it down with him? Like, okay, all right, these are your top songs.
So originally I recorded about 10 demos, cause this, he knew it was my first time working with a producer. So he kind of walked me through how we were going to do it. I went in with like 10 demos, 10 different songs. And then he helped me narrow it down to, I think originally it was a top 5, but then we decided we were going to add an extra one, later on in the process, which was actually When the Sunshine Rains, which was the title track of the EP. So good thing I added it in there. he definitely helped me with it. My brother helped me with it. And then I just sent it around to a couple different people whose opinions I trusted as well. And yeah, they all helped me out with the decision making.
If you're just tuning into Steel City Music right now, I'm your host, Gunner, and I'm chatting with Francesca Panetta. She's performing part of Gussapalooza, which is September 16th to the 18th. It's a music festival in Cookstown, Ontario. Do you know the date you'll be performing?
I believe I will be on the 17th. Is that the Saturday? It's the Saturday, and I'll be on the acoustic stage from 12 to 12:45.
Okay, so you're going to be doing that, and there's other shows that you have coming up in the next couple months, COVID permitting. So, but how does that work with you in regards to merch? Are you the type of artist that has merch to be sold, or are you just streaming your stuff online for folks?
So I'm still kind of new to the professional side of things, I will admit. So I don't actually have merch yet, but I should, because my dad is, he's like a screen printer. so I should. But yeah, for Gussapalooza, I'm planning to have some stuff available. I'm hoping to have some physical copies of CDs as well, of the EP. But yeah, that's the plan.
Hey man, thanks for taking the time out to chat with us on Steel City Music.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was an absolute pleasure. Hey, this is Francesca Panetta, and you're listening to Steel City Music.
Sunny days gestured on your face while I can see the light inside my own eyes. I look into the mirror just to find that I can't see her anymore. She's walked right out the door. Looking at you in this light, I don't mind it. Maybe this time I won't try to hide it.
Hold your mind.
even if it is just for tonight.
You're listening to Steel City Music. I am your host, Gunner. To wrap up the show, a final interview with Dave Fritz from Droids Osaka. I've known Dave forever. Time flies. I kind of realized, and I've known the dude for over 20 years, if not more. I hired him as a guitar tech, stage tech, whatever tech for the Killjoys in the early 90s for an East Coast tour. And the funny thing, as the tour was ending, we had to go on another Western tour, and Dave said in the van on the drive home, I could hold off on my wedding and do the Western tour. And then we're all in the van going, no, Dave, you're not holding off on your wedding. We're not going to have some woman kill us because you want to go out west. You're getting married, and that's the end of it. That still sticks with me. Dave's also in bands called Trigger and Junior Achiever with Gene Champagne and Jeremy Knowles and the other dude from out west, whose name I can't remember off the top of my head, but he's a sweet guy. Met him at Gene's wedding. So Droids Osaka, new releases, old releases, tribute albums, covering other artists. It's all in this interview, and it's a good one. And Dave, thanks for taking the time out of your day to do this interview with us on Steel City Music. Thanks, bud. Hey, you're listening to Steel City Music, and I'm your host, Gunner, and my next guest is Dave Fritz from Droids Osaka, who we always have a good time chatting with here on Steel City Music. The last time him and I had a chat was a while ago, and this is the funny thing. Dave's kind of an audio specialist for films and other things. He never really gives out his title, but he chose to do the interview over the phone, and this is why we're doing Zoom, because the last time Dave said, I sound like a pig with asthma. Well, how did that happen? I'm like, you're the one. You took the choice of doing it over the phone.
I was holding my phone away from my face, and I thought at a good distance so I wouldn't distort the mic. But what ended up happening was I think you just caught every exhale from my nose.
It's terrifying. And, it's terrifying.
And ironically, we said before we started recording is I'm just getting over COVID, and I feel like I am breathing like a pig again. So.
But you sound, I'm going to be honest with you, you sound better with just getting over COVID than you did when you didn't have COVID. That's the whole thing.
That's okay.
You know, that's the funny thing here. Hey, man, thanks for taking time out of your day. Get out of your little bed there and get in front
me.
Of Zoom, you know, that's good. So, yeah, last time we were chatting was about your EP, about the Droids Osaka, and just catchy tunes, catchy pop oriented rock kind of thing. And I was digging all of it. And then I sent you a message, you know, it's been a while. We haven't chatted. What are you up to? And you're like, oh, I'm doing some, got a couple new releases. I got this other thing, but I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And then you were just like, so in between on trying to tell me what you were doing. And then finally said, there's a Doughboys tribute album that I've submitted a song to. I got this other stuff I'm releasing. So let's just get it all out. Let's just spill it all out here.
The big problem is if I don't have a deadline, then that's why I'm like, yeah, I'm working on the stuff, which I have been. I've got like a hard drive full of stuff I'm working on. But with no deadline, I've got no incentive to like finish it. I'm constantly tweaking and then hating it and then fixing something.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So I'm using you as a deadline.
Today. Right. Like, okay, send this stuff over to me because we're going to do this chat. But that's a very valid point you bring up, because a lot of people I chat to, and I do it the same way too. I got to have a deadline before I get things done. I tend to that brutal thing where everyone goes, oh, I'm a great multitasker. I'm not a great multitasker anymore. I got to concentrate on one thing, get it done, move on. Right. So, and that was the case with my website. Like it was down for a while and I had some issues. I'm like, okay, gotta get it up. I'm not even gonna tell people I put it back up. I'm just gonna put it up and then tweak it and work on it and just get going. But the other thing too, which you said earlier, makes me feel that, when you need, sometimes you need to send it to someone to bounce whatever you're doing off of, because there's that self doubt where you're like going, is this crap? Am I putting out crap? Is this, can someone, and then you go, so who do you send stuff to go, hey, what do you think?
You just reminded me of like some meme I saw recently where it was kind of like anyone who makes art, it's like the four stages and it's like, this is amazing. And then it's like, I don't know if I like this. This is shit. And then like the fourth stage, oh, maybe this isn't as bad as I thought it was. Who do I send stuff to? I have a couple of friends I probably bounce stuff off of, and I'll just like, send an MP3 and send an email and just say, am I on the right track? Is this done? Do I like, cause you'll focus on the minutia of a song, especially when you're like by yourself working on stuff night by night. And it's like, I don't know if this is, am I off, and I'll like change things. In fact, one of the songs that you have now, I think I changed, it was literally one line and I must've changed it 3 or 4 times. And I think it was probably Gene Champagne that just said, just, it's done. Like he's you know,
yeah,
he's as bad as I am, but he was just
things
like,
things will never be the same.
Things will never be the same. Yeah.
Well, okay. So what was the song all about? Like why, what was holding you back?
This is probably the first time I've tried to write a song that's somewhat political. I've tried in the past and it never works out. I seem to only be able to write songs about lost loves.
Sure.
And being heartbroken, which is weird because I don't think I've had my heart broken for a long time. But Things Will Never Be the Same is a, well, I was going to say it's very, I guess it's kind of a political song hidden in a love song, but it's not really hidden that well, actually. It's pretty obvious. Right. I think it was just, it was lockdown and all the stuff that was going on in the States and, it's just kind of overwhelming, and you just and social media and just how that's played into like negativity on like every topic from a pandemic to some kid uploading a video of him playing guitar and having like hundreds of comments saying you suck, and I'm like, the kid's 8, why are you, just all that negativity that comes with it, right? For like amazing things like getting music out and being able to get your music out into the world, there's all the other negative stuff that comes into it. So that's kind of, the song is kind of about how this pandemic has changed everything for this, current generation, and also just, some commentary. I don't know. I'm going to stick to love songs, I think, in the future.
Well, now it sounds like you feel bad that you wrote it.
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, I think it's, hey, I think it's fine.
Why don't we spin that track right now? Things Will Never Be okay. The Same. Droids Osaka, Dave Fritz here on Steel City Music. Did I like it? I loved it. What do you mean? I love all your stuff. Stop it. Hey, if you're just tuning in now, you're listening to Steel City Music. I'm your host, Gunnar Smith, Jamie Smith, whatever. And Dave Fritz, we're having a chat from Droids Osaka about some new releases, or releases that should have happened a while back, but they haven't. Tell me about the track Lost Me Again, because earlier when I was doing some going over my notes and stuff that you sent me, was the track that didn't make the last EP. And why didn't it make it?
I think I had 6 songs for the EP, and that was the one that just wasn't sitting with me. It kind of stood out from the rest, sort of like the mix, the vibe of it. And at the last minute, I just decided to not include it. Mm-hmm. But I did, again, I just didn't like it. I forgot what it even sounded like. I literally for a year put it away and didn't listen to it. And then I've had some music played by this YouTuber in England. His name is Colin Furze, and he does sort of zany. I don't know if you've seen him before, but he does like crazy experiments and builds. Like he is known for, you know, building a bunker in his backyard and this tunnel system that goes up through his house. And like, I mean, his videos are, you know, like in the top 10. I think one of his videos recently was like the number one watched video on YouTube. Anyway, he uses music that's sort of the ilk that I make. And I sent him some tracks, and Lost Me Again was one of them. And it's funny because I'll always know when he's used one of my songs, because all of a sudden I'll see this, like, you know, these emails coming in saying, I can't find Lost Me Again. I really want to hear it. I love that song. I heard it on Colin Furze, and I can't download it. Where can I buy it?
Right.
And I had a few of those where I would just kind of like email the track to the,
sure,
to the kid in Tucson or wherever he was. So anyway, I've kind of had to rethink about it and went back to the track, and I hopefully fixed some of the problems I had with it.
So people are like appreciated that you're sending this song to them. Like it's me.
Oh yeah. They're kind of like, cause they're willing to, you know, they seem willing to, you know, to pay for it. They just can't find it anywhere. They're like, and I explained to them, well, it's just kind of a,
where are you throwing that up on? Are you going to throw that up on Bandcamp? Like for $1 or $5 or something like that? Or
yeah, I still don't know if I'm going to put it up. I'll probably just put it up. Yeah. On like Spotify or something. Maybe a B-side to, things will never be the same. Maybe that's what I'll do. Part of the problem is, and it is, remember, maybe it's still a thing here in some ways. You know how like bands kind of like all their albums were meant to sound the same, and if the Ramones used a trumpet, you'd be like, what the heck is happening? This isn't what the Ramones are supposed to be doing. And when I went to Japan a decade ago now, I noticed a lot of Japanese bands didn't seem to care. They weren't genre specific. And if they wanted to put a mm-hmm. bagpipe solo in one song, and one song sounded like a punk song, and another song sounded like a jazz song, they didn't care. All they cared about was, is this a good song? Does it fit the song? And I feel like there's a generation of bands now that are doing that. There's like, bands that come to mind are like Turnstile.
Mm-hmm.
There's another band I love from England called Dinosaur Pileup, and it's like one part of the song. Like the verse sounds like a thrash metal song, the chorus sounds like a pop punk song, and another song sounds like Fountains of Wayne. Like they're like genre bouncing. There's like one song that he does like a rap thing, and I think it's cool. I think it's cool. And I think about right. like talking to my nephew, and you know, when he was younger and he was into rap, he was into the Beatles, he was into Green Day. And I'm like, wow, yeah, like it's kind of cool that kids listen to everything. So the point being is that's what I'm struggling with myself, because I think Lost Me Again was one of the songs that didn't fit with the rest, but maybe that's okay. You know, I don't need to hold it back. I'm wrestling with all of this.
That's okay. You know, it makes total sense to me. Why don't we spin Lost Me Again right now on Steel City Music?
Take another chance before it's over.
Yeah, that was all over the place, eh, buddy?
Yeah. Am I making any sense in my COVID fog?
I'm sure everyone knows that you're making perfect sense in all of this. But I know what you're saying with Lost Me Again. It's a good track, man. So there's this other thing that you... Okay, so we have these two... One that's sitting in the back for a long time, and then things will never be the same. We got those two tracks. Where are we at with this track? With this, there's a Doughboys album you mentioned to me a while ago that's supposed to come out.
Yeah,
tell us about the workings of that, about Droids Osaka covering a Doughboys song.
So, I basically on Facebook got wind of this Doughboys tribute that was happening, and I just reached out to the person that posted about it, and I was like, "Give me some details about this. Please put me in touch with the people that are doing this, because." I was a huge Doughboys fan, and they were really influential, I think, to me musically in my formative years. Anyway, I got in touch with the folks. They're called Been There, Done That Press. I think they're based out of Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
So they're putting this Doughboys tribute together, and it's got the blessing of John Kastner. Brock, who is the original drummer in the Doughboys, is doing a Doughboys cover song with his new band. I think they're called the Slip-Ons. Which is kind of funny since he was an original member. Anyway, yeah, so I am on that. I think it's just been delayed because they're meant to press vinyl, and I think there's just a huge backlog.
That's just, you're looking at 2029.
Right.
So there's only like two vinyl plants in the world, and I think Adele took one of them. I'm not sure.
Right. So I don't know if it was supposed to be this summer. I think now it's fall. I don't know if they're still going to stick with the vinyl. I don't really know what the details are.
Sure.
The album is still coming out in fall, but whether or not it's going to be a digital release or until they get the vinyl, or how that's going to work out. But I did a song. So
which song did you end up recording?
I picked a song from their last album they did called Nothing Inside, because I just kind of felt it was a song I could have written, or I've probably ripped that song off at some point over the last few
right.
years.
So it just felt easier for you to, you just had a kinship to it right away.
Yeah, I did. And then I changed the tempo, changed the key, just trying to make it a little different. Cause there's not, cause in some ways it's so disappointing when there's a cover song that is basically exactly the same as the original. Cause it's, I want to hear what the artist
I remember now that, that we're talking about this, back and when I say back in the day, I mean back in the day, like early 90s, and there was this little label that operated out of the basement of my house called Gritty City Records, and it was run by Sam Tallow and Jeremy Forrest, and they did a tribute album to Teenage Head here, yeah. Hamilton, right? So if you're from Hamilton or from, you know, if you remember anything from the punk scene of the 70s, late 70s, 80s, Hamilton, Ontario, one of the Canadian icon bands is Teenage Head, right? They're the band that should have, could have been mm-hmm. super huge, but through fate and accidents and things like that, they never got their due. So they decided to do a tribute album. And everyone put their version of a Teenage Head song on it. And the backlash from some of the people in Hamilton was like, this sucks, you know? And it was just like, even like the term, there was a song called Shag Shack, and it was done by Science Spheric, and it was like very loud sounding and slow. And everyone was like, that's not how it's supposed to be. And it was just like, I remember hearing all the different versions going, hey, this is cool. And everyone around me going, oh no, I'll have none of this.
Right.
You know? So there's this like fear. Because when you were talking about it, it's just like there's this fear, like, well, you cover someone else's music. You should make it. Some people are like, you have to make it sound like that. And it's just like, well, how do you know what's the point of covering someone or doing a tribute to someone if you make it sound like that?
Right. Yeah.
Because some of these artists that were on that album at that time were like, they were influenced by Teenage Head, but they're not all setting it to turn around and become Frankie Venom on vocals. It's impossible.
No, that would be weird to me to try to even mimic him. You know, like
you know, yeah. Oh, it was hilarious. You know, there like
there was a tribute album. There was a Beatles tribute album, and I think that's the one band that you should probably stay away from covering. But this was years ago, and there's an English band called Senseless Things, and what I loved is that their choice for the Beatles tribute album was a Ruddles song.
That's amazing.
And
which was the joke version of the Beatles.
The parody, yeah. The Monty Python, Eric Idle. Yeah. So they did I Must Be in Love, which is like a Beatles parody. And I thought, how great was, you know, is that? That'd be awesome.
But there's also the fear when you cover something that the actual artist, most people, I believe, that will go, well, that was nice. Thank you for doing that. That's an interesting take on my music, that sort of thing, right? And but there's also that fear, like, this is god awful. Why would you do this to me? You know?
Yeah.
So that must be like floating around. But which kind of leads us into the next subject matter is the song Youth 8500. You sent this to me, and I was like, Dave, this is the best, like one of the best things you've ever done. And then I was kind of a little bit miffed. I went, oh, it's a cover of someone else. I went, Jesus, Dave, you suck.
Yeah.
You know, you had to take someone else's music. But I went back and I heard the original artist, and I was like, this is like 80s perfect early synth.
Yeah.
80s. And it for my age group, I was like, I remember all of this style of music. And then I would listen to yours and listen to the original. I was like, this is fantastic. Tell me about the artist and how you hitched up with them.
So I mentioned earlier that the YouTuber Colin Furze, and who's used a bunch of my music, and he kept using this other artist called Look Mom No Computer. And a lot of times he'd just have one of my songs and one of his songs. So I felt there was this like bit of a connection there. And then when you go to, you know, Spotify, you know how they have like a recommended, you know, people who listen to Droids Osaka also listen to, and they would mention mm-hmm. Look Mom No Computer, even though it's completely different. Obviously, it was just the connection to that YouTube channel. So Look Mom No Computer, he has a YouTube channel as well where he like tinkers with all kinds of electronics. Like he'll make all kinds of weird things.
But his channel is so vast now because he's talking about gear that he finds on the internet and he restores it. Yeah. So when we're talking about synth and computers, most of our mindset goes, well, like just a keyboard. No. He patches everything in.
Yeah. Have you seen the videos?
Old computers.
There's a cool video of him doing his song live, like in a
Which is Youth 8500. Yeah.
And it's incredible. He's got like this like huge modular synthesizer and he's like doing it all himself and he's singing and like he's got this solo performance, which actually I think is incredible. Like it's funny because I think we mentioned the first time we talked about Droids Osaka was my original idea was to do like a solo thing with like sequence drums and bass, which it never materialized. But so I think seeing that, I was like, wow, I just felt this kinship with him somehow, even though we never met, never talked. And I just thought, how cool would it be to do one of his songs in my style? And I sent him the track, even though I know legally, like there's nothing, you know, as long as it's registered, like he would get all the,
royalties
and stuff. Yeah. Anyway, but I just wanted to reach out to him and he dug it. So, you know, kind of felt like I had his blessing, not that I needed it, but I just wanted to reach out to him. So, and then I sent it to Colin Furze and he used it. And that's another one of those songs where it was never released. And I kept getting all these emails. I'm like, oh, he must've used it because here's a kid from, Johannesburg reaching out, wanting to know where the song is. And so I put it up on YouTube. That's how I chose to release it. Just
it's great
to make it accessible.
You know,
that's a great song.
Why don't we spin that right now? Let's hear it right now.
Let's listen to it.
Yeah. And the artist once again,
Look Mom No Computer,
with the track Youth 8500. And this is Droids Osaka doing the cover of it. We'll be right back. If you're just tuning in now, you're listening to Steel City Music. I'm your host, Gunnar. My special guest right now is Dave Fritz from Droids Osaka. And we've been talking about some of the new releases or old releases that were never released, I guess, that he had on his hard drive and some covers, that sort of thing. So which now leads us into the last part of our chat, buddy, was earlier you just said Droids Osaka would be just me, maybe sequencers, keyboards, you know, doing the whole thing by myself, which is great, unless you've got to carry all the gear yourself. But then it also kind of leads into that sort of like, do I or do I not do a full band again? And what would that look like? And would the sound change at all if there was new members in the band? So have you pondered that any further?
Yeah, it's hard because you're working backwards in a lot of ways, right? Like usually the traditional way is you have a band, you work on stuff together, and then the recording process, and then that all happens. And I've kind of worked backwards where like the recordings, that happened with my last band too. The recordings came first, then the band comes, and things are going to change because for a positive reason, because you've got different people to play with. I have made one attempt so far to make this a reality, make it a live band. I'm probably the one that needs the most work because I've realized that I've never actually played any of these songs from start to finish. In some ways, as you're recording,
right,
you know, like I realized, oh my God, I can't physically sing the verse and the chorus because when I recorded it, I was doing it in parts and I have no room to breathe. So,
and also play that
guitar riff. I can't do all this simultaneously. So I have to learn my own songs, which is weird.
That makes sense. But, you know, if you want a little bit of inspiration, a mutual friend of ours, him and I had this conversation a while back, Mike Troublecock, Killjoys, he has that Cemetery Spawn project that he's been doing for the last 5 years, if not more, where it's all 80s metal sounding music, not all of it, but inspired of the horror genre of the 80s. And he writes a lot of horror music for indie films. And then Cemetery Spawn, when you were listening to the songs, you're like going, yeah, it feels like this song, it feels like that song. And I'm like, there's a high vocal here, there's a guitar part here, there's all these things. And I said to him, like, you should do that live, man. Like, why not? Like, just do it live. And he's like, Jim, there's so many parts to it. I don't know if I'm sing this part and that part. But he figured out a way of doing it, right? You know, so.
There's a way to do it. I could have been more prepared because actually during the rehearsal, as I'm kind of like, you know, showing the other guys kind of like the arrangement, which they were already had heard, but we're just kind of working through things. And I had to keep going back to my phone so that I could remember either the lyrics or the chords. And I'm like, oh my, it's kind of embarrassing.
But
and
it's
I
was all like, done now.
I'm like, guys, next time I'll be more prepared. And then, you know, basically we've just all been hit with COVID. So it hasn't, you know, kind of waiting for the dust.
So it is in the works then, you know.
It's in the works, but with the way things are right now, there's no real deadline or incentive to make it happen. So it'll happen. I think what'll probably happen is, you know, the existing tunes will be what we start with, and then we'll probably end up, you know, making some new stuff. It'll probably what'll happen. Or maybe I don't know.
It'll happen if you give it you're right, a deadline and a special show where you could, you know, there has to be a special show for you to debut this. And maybe we can come up with one. I was gonna say something now that would probably never happen.
What's
that? I was gonna say get a Hamilton show with the Killjoys and get Droids Osaka to open up, but that's asking for a punch in the face.
If as long as I have about 24 or 36 months to prepare, I should be good.
Yeah, but not you punching me in the face. It's Gene. He's gonna punch me right in the face for even suggesting that. What are you talking about?
Maybe throw Junior Achiever and Pet Cemetery on that. Is it
Pet Cemetery all the time. It's Cemetery Spawn.
Spawn. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's always that. See, it's that 80s visual, right? It's just right there. So, hey, man, thanks for taking the time for having this chitty chat. How do people get a hold of you, Dave?
If you go to Instagram.com, okay, I mean the whole URL, whatever Instagram's handle is, Droids Osaka, there's like a link tree thing. And there's links to, you know, all the streaming services, Bandcamp, some t-shirts, some cool merch. I sell way more t-shirts than I do music, which is kind of weird.
They're sharp looking shirts. I recommend everyone to get one.
Thank you. Yeah. It's weird the way things have kind of like, changed. Yeah. I'm selling t-shirts. No one cares. Everyone's just streaming the music for free. So, but I'm selling loads of t-shirts.
Good.
Every time that guy shows a video, I see a little like, oh,
There you go.
We'll flip the shirts. So yeah, so there's a Linktree there, and you can find me on all the Droids Osaka.
Just Facebook Google Linktree / Droids Osaka if you don't know what Linktree is, and it'll click you in, and then you can buy some merch and stream some music and have other stuff, and contact Dave and tell him how great his music is. How's that?
That's perfect.
Awesome. Thanks for taking the time to chat, buddy.
Thanks for having me, Jamie. Hey, this is Dave from Droids Osaka. Here are a couple of our songs on Steel City Music.
From Mohawk College in Hamilton, you're listening to Indie 101.5 FM. CIOI.
Everybody's going to the party, have a real good time.
Steel City Music.